Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com, and by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice. Marketplace is supported by Putnam Investments, dedicated to a prudent approach to investing. Produced in association with the University of Southern California.
I am thankful for cranberry sauce from a can. My mother's mashed potatoes with a little bit of gravy. Family and friends laughing about old times. Football games and tryptophan-induced naps. I'm thankful for a day when Wall Street is empty, when there's no traffic and no commerce. Well, there's a little commerce. Which is why I'm also thankful for online shopping. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by the American Academy of Family Physicians, personal preventive care for better patient health and reduced costs for business, aafp.org/value. And by FINRA Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at finrafoundation.org.
From the Frank Stanton Studios in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow, in for Kai Rizdahl. It's Thursday, November 22nd. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at Marketplace. We've prepared a radio feast for you. Stories about family and food, and of course, money. Whether we like it or not, shopping is part of the holiday season. This year, the economy's turning a bit sour, so retailers are more competitive than ever. Some of them will open at midnight. They'll have discounts and free grub and anything else you can think of to get you to drive to the mall. But hey, in this day and age, you don't have to go anywhere. Some of the best deals are already on the web. Andrew Phelps reports.
You could scan the paper today for tempting Black Friday specials, or you could have gone to Brad Olson's website 2 months ago. GotADeal.com is one of many sites with bootlegged copies of circular ads.
Now you have weeks, if not sometimes months, to go through the ads and compare prices and look up reviews on certain things to see if it's, you know, a good product you want to buy.
Like a Barbie MP3 player at Walmart for less than $50. Someone leaked the Walmart ad months ago. It was on Olson's site Monday morning. He thinks it's free advertising for Walmart. But Scott Krugman of the National Retail Federation says it could actually hurt the company.
They're taking proprietary information from a retailer and putting that retailer at a competitive disadvantage by, one, alerting their competition of what the pricing will be in advance, and, two, potentially providing false information to their consumers.
Olson's website warns its postings should be considered strictly rumors. I'm Andrew Phelps for Marketplace.
It's always a little scary giving out your credit card number online. I know it's supposed to be safe, but still. And unfortunately, using your credit card at the store isn't completely secure either. Marketplace's John Dimsdale tells us about a new study.
A wireless security company, Air Defense, sent people with laptop computers into 3,000 stores in major cities to see what sort of electronic signals were flying through the air. In nearly a fourth of the stores, transmissions between handheld devices and mainframes had no security encryption. Another 25% used an easily broken password. Only a few signals included credit card information, but Air Defense's Richard Rushing says that doesn't matter.
The problem is it's all interconnected, and if a bad guy's going to go get credit cards, first thing he needs to do to ever get credit cards is connect to that network.
Rushing says by intercepting a store signal, a hacker can easily access credit card lists that are kept on mainframes at corporate headquarters. How much do thieves buy with stolen credit card information? Nobody knows. Aviva Leighton, a security expert with Gartner, says that's because retailers don't want to report it.
They already feel burdened by too much regulation, and the less visibility they have to the regulators, the better off they think they are. The reporting is so scanty, and the regulators just don't even know what's going on, frankly.
Lighten estimates some $10 billion is charged on fraudulent credit cards every year in the U.S. Individual users are only liable for $50, and credit card companies usually make that liability zero. But Lighten says the losses are eventually passed on to all shoppers through higher prices. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Wall Street was all quiet today, but there was some action overseas. We'll get to it when we do the numbers. Our theme is family today, and since I can't have mom's mashed potatoes this Thanksgiving, I thought I'd come up with a way to sneak her onto the show. My mother doesn't run a business, but if she did, I'm sure it would have something to do with being organized. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Scott.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good. My whole life, I've heard the same phrase over and over again. I'm just trying to get organized. Exactly what does that mean?
It's a 37-year-old clean out. And I've been working on it steadily, and I'm actually doing better. You know that I'm doing better because we have a car in the garage now. And you know there wasn't one before.
Right, because of all the boxes.
We've had three moves, and a lot of those boxes never got opened.
Well, that's because you don't throw anything away. Now, you know that.
That's right. I have lived with the premise that you don't throw anything away. I get that from Grandma and from my whole family. You know, somebody might be able to use it. Someone else's trash is someone else's treasure.
So if I said, Mom, can you go find my baseball cards? Would you be able to find them?
Actually, I know where they are.
You do? Where are they?
Your sister has them. She's keeping them in safeguard for you.
You know, Mom, recently they came out with a new magazine called Organize. Is that something you might read?
I think I need a subscription to it. I think a lot of people struggle with just how do I do this? And it's not only how you do it, it's getting the motivation to continue to do it and do it so that you get a closure on it where you can say, I have truly done it and got rid of it.
All right. Sharon Jagel, professional organizer. Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome. And the next time you come home, there's going to be less.
We'll see about that. Happy Thanksgiving to all my family having dinner in Charlotte, North Carolina. Keeping a family together and running a business are not that far apart. Sometimes you can apply lessons from one to the other. For example, one book suggests you give yourself a job review at home. This technique is called 360-degree feedback. In the workplace, employees are asked to rate their boss. But now some executives are getting 360'd at home. From the Work and Family Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
Lee Bird is chief operating officer at The Gap, one of the most recognized brands in the world. He's only 39 years old, but he's already moved his family to six different states for his career. And it's fair to say his current job is demanding.
I'm responsible for the store operations, the financial operations, sourcing and production, merchandise planning, and all the distribution, as well as strategy and Canadian operations.
Bird's been evaluated on his job performance many times, but it's a bit more nerve-wracking, he says, to be scored by these guys.
I'm Ashley Bird. I'm 15. Wesley Bird, and I'm 14. Lewis Bird, I'm 11 years old.
I'm Haley Bird. I'm 9 years old.
Emily, and I'm 7 years old.
80 old.
I think she meant to say two. There's also a 4-year-old boy shy around microphones. Bird got what you might call a domestic report card by using an internet program called Family 360. He asked his wife, his parents, his in-laws, and 4 of his 7 kids to rate his performance at home.
I did quite well. I was surprised.
Bird scored an overall 6.2 out of a possible 7, perhaps one of the reasons he was willing to let us interview his children.
I thought it was a good chance to kind of like tell him what we didn't like and then what we did like without saying it like straight to his face.
The kids' scores and written comments were anonymous, which left them feeling unusually emboldened. But they said Dad was too smart. He figured out exactly who said what. The bottom line, Bird scored highly as a provider, a communicator, a vacation organizer, but he left something to be desired in the handling stress department, 11-year-old Lewis.
I sort of wanted him to know that when he comes home more stressed, then it sort of makes the whole family stressed, because if he gets mad at someone, then they blame it on someone else who blames it on someone else. So the whole family gets so mad.
It's like a chain reaction.
Pretty much.
9-year-old Haley analyzed the problem with the precision of a practiced psychoanalyst.
Because he has all the control in work, and then if somebody doesn't obey him at home, it's like not like he has all the control like he does at work.
Bert admits he's a punctual perfectionist and says he's learning to lower his expectations when he walks in the door after a 40-minute commute home from downtown San Francisco. Ben Porter, co-author of the book Family 360, says a lot of type A execs can't turn it off when they pull in the driveway. Some even bark orders just like they do at work.
They tend to come home very wired. And they'll walk in the door and they'll be on edge. And of course, when you see that the house is not clean like it should, or the dinner is late, or kids are fighting, or whatever it might be, you tend to go ballistic on occasion.
At Lee Bird's ranch-style home in a wooded East Bay suburb, he and his wife wonder if the sacrifices they'll need to make for Lee to become a CEO would be worth it. Linda, who homeschools three of their kids, gave her husband pretty good scores, but let him know she wanted him home earlier, she wanted to keep those date nights, and she wanted him to help the kids more with their homework.
He really does matter here. He matters on how the day goes. He matters on how the evening finishes off.
And the kids, by the way, told Bird they wanted more one-on-one time. That's 1 times 7. Family 360 tells busy people they can have it all, great family relationships and stellar careers, but even Bird challenges that notion.
You need to be there, and sometimes that just means every time, every weekend, every night, just being around. So I think it's quality and quantity. People that to say it's quality time really don't get the importance of parenting.
Bird is trying to do both and get some work done. Guess who accompanied him on a recent family business trip?
One of my one-on-ones was he took me to Utah with him, just me and my dad, so it's really fun.
And Bird is already implementing Family 360's method for de-stressing. Maybe you want to try this yourself tonight. 10 minutes before you get home, turn off your car radio. Did I really say that? Turn off your cell phone and think about the worst-case scenario walking into your house. Screaming kids, no food in the fridge, maybe your kid got suspended, whatever. Then think about how you'd handle it. Chances are, when you walk in that door, it won't be that bad. And you'll be grateful. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
A P.S. to this story, Lee Bird is no longer with Gap. He's now the president of Nike subsidiaries in Beaverton, Oregon. What's better than Thanksgiving dinner? Thanksgiving dinner the next day. And the next day. A turkey sandwich, a side of reheated apple pie, green beans in a Tupperware bowl. Ah, yes, Tupperware. The king of leftovers. Did you know those plastic containers have been around for 61 years? I know it sounds strange now, but Tupperware parties gave women job opportunities they didn't have before. But like everything else, the Tupperware business has changed. For one thing, more men are selling it. Sean Cole has our story.
Not only are more men selling Tupperware these days, last year at least 3 of the top 10 sellers in the country were men, including this guy.
The main reason that I even said I would sell was actually for the discount.
His name's Joe Hagen, and he's always been thrifty. So when he found out at a Tupperware party that sellers get 35% off all their cake takers and modular mates, he was hooked. And then Tupperware came out with a cookware line.
And being in the restaurant business for 10 years, I was like, I have to have that cookware, you know? And so all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, well, I got to start having parties, and I got to have friends over and try it out.
He was kind of a natural. enticing people with door prizes, showing them a good time. And in a way, none of this is really that surprising. It's 2007. Men cook, women run for president, and yet Tupperware as a company didn't seem to know that. Joe says a lot of the documentation he got as a seller referred to him as
she, her. Even when I filled out the first agreement, it said her, you know? So I crossed all this out in my agreement and put his and so forth.
But Tupperware is catching on. At its annual jubilees, it's made a few adjustments for men who win sales prizes.
We did recognition on stage. In the past, it was usually necklaces and crowns. And we said, wait a minute.
This is Rick Goings, the CEO of Tupperware.
They still like crowns, by the way, but they want a king's crown. No tiara.
Goings told me less than 1% of Tupperware's global sales force, global, they're in 100 countries now, are men. But the fact that he even mentioned a whole number is a big change from the 50s. And he says the nature of the job has changed, too.
Now we've re-engineered the opportunity so that you can not only hold parties, but you can, in fact, build your own sales organization. So that's attracted a lot of men to the business as well.
Not only that, but every seller has her, or his, own website now. And about a year ago, not very many sellers were taking advantage of the internet yet.
A lot of women didn't see that as a revenue for sales.
But Joe Hagen did.
I thought, you know, I could start doing advertising and getting people to go to my site. Well, I had no idea of the impact.
He put a sidebar ad up on Google and started pulling down $20,000 and $25,000 a month.
A month.
He'd go to Tupperware events and everyone would be buzzing about him.
Like, how is he doing that? He's a guy. How can he do that?
And then more people started doing it, and more. And then another guy started trying to push his fellow Tupperware sellers out of the market. Joe says the guy basically stole their internet customers and fraudulently drove up their advertising costs.
And I spoke to one woman. She ended up paying $11,000 in like 1 week from abuse that other consultants were doing to her. You know, it became a very much a war ground.
Tupperware ended up changing the rules for online advertising, which ended the war. Nonetheless, Joe says the unethical guy was the number one seller last year, and Joe was number two. Men have arrived in Tupperland. Even the rapper Ice-T, one of the toughest guys in the world, held a Tupperware party for charity a while back. And then he went on late-night TV and talked about how much he loved it. Rick Goings was watching.
And then he kept saying, and Tupperware is OG. And I turned to my wife and I said, honey, what in the world is OG? And then I find out it's old gangster.
No, it's original gangster.
Is that original gangster? Excuse me, how did you know that?
Well, under the circumstances, I think a better question is, how did you not know that? In Boston, I ain't no superhero. I ain't no Marvel comic. But when it comes to the game, I'm atomic and drop it in straight point blank and untwisted. No imagination needed, because I lived it. OG, original
gangster. OG, original gangster. OG. Coming up, debt can bring out our dark side.
When there were no receipts for money that was in the till, I started taking the money.
But first, let's do the numbers. It was all dark and quiet on Wall Street today, but there was trading overseas. Not a good day for the Asian markets. In Hong Kong, stocks fell 2.3%. In Shanghai, they dropped 4.4% on concerns that China might try to cool off its economy. Japan's Nikkei was up a fraction. The European markets had gains as well. London's FTSE climbed 1.4%. And in Germany, the DAX was up 0.5%. Oil prices steadied at about $97 a barrel. Wall Street has a short trading day tomorrow. You're listening to Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by U.S. Trust, Bank of America Private Wealth Management, committed to understanding the values that truly matter to clients and offering a personal approach to managing their wealth. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet. Want more from Marketplace? It's all on our website, You can stream, download, or subscribe to podcasts of all our shows. And we have text of most stories, plus special reports and the Marketplace Toolbox. Check it out at marketplace.org.
From the Marketplace Datebook, here's a glance at what's coming up Friday. The New York Stock Exchange closes early. Everyone can get to their leftover turkey at 1 p.m. Eastern. That is, if you're not out shopping. The day after Thanksgiving is traditionally a big day for retailers. Or if you're tired of turkey, how about pigskin? There's a big helping of college football on the boob tube. And avoiding the malls means participating in Buy Nothing Day, November 23rd in North America. I'm Michelle Phillippe.
This is Marketplace from American Public Media. I'm Scott Jagow, in for Kai Rizdahl. In Italy, men stay at home. And by that I mean they live with their parents. A third of Italian men over 30 still live with mama and papa. The country's economic minister wants them out of the house. He's proposed a $1,500 tax break for young Italians who rent. But he's getting a lot of flack for calling these men big babies. Let's bring in our correspondent in Rome, Megan Williams. Megan, first of all, why do a third of Italian men live with their parents?
Well, there's sort of two big reasons. I mean, one of them is the cultural reason. It's a southern Mediterranean country, so it's the culture of the family. Independence isn't really valued that much here. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you don't move out, there's no shame associated with it. So that's a big part of it, but the economy is really blocked in Italy, and especially for young people. The chance of even finding not a decent job, but realizing that you're going to segue out of that to something better, just doesn't exist here.
Well, Megan, it may be no shame, but the Italian economics minister calls them big babies.
Well, I mean, people love to make fun of them. Yeah, I mean, there's that bamboccioni, or the other word that people use all the time is mamoni, mama's boys. But it does belittle the economic reality of it.
Is there any chance that this idea of a tax break will go over?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, a tax break of what, $1,500? That's going to help someone for a month, maybe, or 2 months. You need a total overhaul in this country of the labor code. You need to be able to allow small and medium-sized companies, which are the backbone of the Italian economy, to be able to hire and let people go when they need to. Right now, these companies aren't hiring anybody because it's impossible to let anybody go. So what's happening is the workers are paying the price because they're getting jobs under the table. They have no job security, and they're being exploited. And that's what's happening, especially to young people in this country.
Is the Italian government or these companies doing anything to help the situation?
Well, the political pressure is mounting, but Italy just hasn't been able to make that transition into a modern economy. And when we talk about these mamoni and kids staying at home so late, it's kind of funny on one level, but it really does represent a huge and growing problem in this country, which is that there are no jobs for young people.
All right, Megan Williams in Rome, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
One of the tougher things for a family to go through is bankruptcy. Debt can be an awful strain on couples and parents and their kids. Recently, we've shared some stories about people trying to pull themselves out of debt. As you can imagine, it's very difficult. Trey Kay tells us the story of one woman's long journey to start over.
I'm Karen. I'm a grateful member of the Debtors Anonymous 12-step program. It has saved my life.
16 years ago, Karen walked into a Debtors Anonymous meeting, the program that helps people learn how to stop debting. Karen had lived a life of debt for many years. She raised 2 children by herself, and her tough financial situation caused her to use credit cards to charge clothes and groceries for the family. Over time, Karen rang up a couple grand in credit card debt. She didn't see many options to pay down that debt, so she got a second mortgage on her house.
And I paid off my credit cards
promising that I would never get into credit card problems again. The only problem with that was I would see something I wanted, and I had no savings, and so I would use the credit card.
That worked for a while, but before long she faced staggering credit card bills. This time the bank said no to a second mortgage, so she looked for a different solution.
I found it really was quite easy to use my company-supplied credit card for personal use and paid it in full each month, so they didn't know. Then started to use it, and I didn't pay it back. I started using company payments to pay it. Before I knew, I was again totally out of control with my debt. Started using not just company checks, but I balanced the cash till at nights. When there were no receipts for money that was in the till, I started taking the money and balancing the till each evening.
This continued for about 2 years until...
I came to work on a Monday morning and my office was locked and they were waiting to confront me with the damage that I had done. The company saying I owed about $100,000. I was just totally devastated. I didn't know what was going to happen in my life from that day on, but I was certain that I would be on the streets. I would never be able to work again. No one would want to have anything to do with me.
Karen called her brother. He offered to help her find a good attorney, and he suggested that she find a local chapter of Debtors Anonymous.
Listening to others share that night, I built up the courage to share why I was there. I was full of shame, and I cried a lot. It was a very emotional time for me, very humbling. But I also knew that it was the first time in a long time in my life that I had been honest.
Karen avoided going to prison by paying back the company. To do this, she had to sell her home. She found a temp job from a suggestion that someone made at a Debtors Anonymous meeting, and this led to a full-time job. It's taken about 16 years, but Karen has managed to repay about $200,000 in debts, fines, taxes, and legal fees. Karen says she'll never forget her embezzlement.
The DA program has taught me that, number one, I need to take care of myself. Number two, I have to be honest.
And she wants to teach honesty. That's why she started a DA meeting at a women's correction facility. She's helping women face what she faced, how to financially start over. In New York, I'm Trey Kay for Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by Putnam Investments, recognizing the value of a well-diversified college savings plan. Putnam Investments, a prudent approach to investing. Additional support from the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication.
This final note of nostalgia from the 80s. That's what the Romantics don't like is people ripping off their songs without permission. The band is suing the game company Activision. Activision makes that wildly popular game Guitar Hero. To the lawsuit, the company says, hey, we already secured the rights to your song. And that's Marketplace from American Public Media. The U.S. markets were closed today for the Thanksgiving holiday. The Marketplace editing staff is Kevin Arnovitz, Patty Hirsch, George Judson, Margaret Koval, Karen Lowe, Betsy Streisand, and Lisa Tucker. Next time on our program, words you rarely hear from a baseball coach.
Almost without fail, the rookies, we concentrate mostly on financial management from the get-go.
Entrepreneurs hit the minor leagues. I'm Scott Jagow. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you can join us again tomorrow.
American Public Media. all over the country.
We need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.